going to read one verse of Scripture, verse 7 in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews. The Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I never caught this before, but I took a pencil and underlined this in my Bible. It starts with by faith, and it ends with by faith. Isn't that good? That verse of Scripture, we could call the message today, by faith, amen. A lot of people are going to be miserable this Christmas season because they don't know anything about faith. But those that have put their trust in Jesus, those that have are looking to Him, and those that are looking beyond the sorrows and looking beyond the cares and looking beyond the weights, they're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to have a merry, merry Christmas because our eyes are going to be on Him. Let's you can be seated. Let's pray together for just a moment. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for your people. It sure is a blessing, Lord, today to see them here in the house of God. Lord, I know today that, Lord, that Christmas is about Christ, and I know that the greatest gift that's ever been given, Lord, was given on an old rugged cross. Lord, we open the service today with that song, On a Hill Far Away. Jesus, you said through your ministry that for this cause came I into the world. Truly, Lord, you were born to die that we might live. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts and help us, our Lord. God, we'll give you glory. Please be with Brother Gary in a special way. God, when he can't walk, just pick him up and carry him. Lord, I pray. He's been a blessing to us. Miss Reba, Lord, he's going to be missed, sorely missed, as many others are, Lord. But Lord, I'm reminded that you said yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And Lord, as good as it's going to be today to get around the table in the fellowship hall, soon, our Lord, we're going to get around your table. Lord, I can only imagine, as good as it was to have Daddy sitting at the head of the table, how good it's going to be to look up there, Lord, at the head of that table. There's our Savior. There's the one, our Lord, with those prints in his hands and in his side to remind us, Lord, of what it cost that we could have heaven for home. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen and amen. Last week, God put the emphasis in this verse, and I'm not going to re-preach that message, and I certainly didn't intend on coming back to this text this morning, but I've got just enough sense to mind the Lord. I didn't intend to come back to this verse this morning, and as a matter of fact, I told a couple different people yesterday evening that the thought had come to my mind, and I thought I was going to preach this morning on this subject, if this were your last service. That's what I thought I was going to preach on this morning. Wouldn't hurt you to think about that for just a minute, though. If this were your last service, amen, how would you approach the service? How would you approach the Savior? But God has brought my heart and my mind. And last week we emphasized the things not seen as yet. That's where we went over and we told you that it had never rained before, but God said it's going to. He told Noah that, and Noah believed the message that God spoke to him. Noah didn't have a Bible, so God spoke to Noah, and he said, Noah, he said, it's a terrible day. There's violence everywhere I look. There's corruption. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Everywhere I look, it's repented me that I even made man, and I'm going to destroy this earth, every living thing. it's going to flood, going to cover the earth. And then what we tried to do was tell you that Noah was facing something that he had never seen, and this world is facing something in the tribulation hour that it's never seen before. And last week we took you to Revelation 6 and Revelation 8 and Revelation 16, where the hailstones, they weighed a talent that were coming out of the stratosphere. We brought that rock out and carried it around last week and let people guess what it weighed. And those guesses were anywhere between 25 and 50 pounds. And it actually, the weight lays right in the middle at 35.8 pounds. So hailstones coming out of the sky that weigh three times as much as that rock over there. And I'm just telling you, you say, Pastor, that's just unfathomable. It is, isn't it? A third of the sea turning to blood. A third of the vegetation on fire. These scorpions going around and biting people. People asking God to let them die, and they can't die. People running to the rocks and the mountains. You say, Pastor, this is not much of a Christmas message. I'm going to tell you, if you'll do like Noah and you'll move with fear, you'll have Christmas. You'll understand the gift of God, beloved, is free to everyone. Whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. But God got my attention with something else. Here the Bible said he moved with fear and he prepared an ark, all because of what he could not see. I begin to think about this, and listen to me carefully, the things that the people in Noah's day could see. They saw an old preacher standing up and preaching a gospel message, amen? He was warning them of the judgment to come. They saw and they heard that preacher. They saw that preacher's faith, Brother Steve. That preacher didn't just say, I believe God. He said, I believe God, and he went to building a boat, just exactly like God told him to do. He moved with fear, amen, and prepared an ark. That preacher, they saw that preacher get his family involved and get his family in. And beloved, listen, in our generation, I cannot just stand here and point you to things that have not been seen as yet that ought to cause you to put your faith in God. But I can point you to things that you can see, beloved. Lives that have been changed. A church family. A family at the house, amen, that loves one another. This love, beloved, goes far beyond the love of man. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Every one of us has flesh. And if all we had was flesh, we could care less about one another. We wouldn't carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But aren't you glad we have something more than flesh? Aren't you glad we have him on the inside? Amen. And Noah had him on the inside. And Shem and Ham and Japheth and their wives had him on the inside. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, please, chapter 24. I'll show you how the Lord's working in my heart. I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can, but I want to share the message that God has put on my heart. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 24, we need to get this. In verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. You tell me this. How many people this Christmas season understand that heaven and earth shall pass away? When all that they live for is earth. All they live for is the things of this world. Amen. But God said it's going to pass away. But my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Remember that text right there. I'm going to show you something when we go to Genesis in just a moment. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm trying to get you to understand that God is saying there is a parallel between the days of Noah and the days that you and I are living in. I would like to have a witness from the congregation this morning. How many of you, don't you lie to me and don't you lie to yourself and don't you lie to God, but how many of you believe Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is coming again? How many of you all believe it could be at any moment? Amen. I see nothing else that needs to be fulfilled. But Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is coming. This time He's not going to be a little baby. Amen. In a manger where there's no room in the inn. But there's going to be room in the sky for the whole church of God to go up and meet Him. Amen. And beloved, it's going to be wonderful there. Having no burdens to bear, gloriously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? But beloved, after that, there's going to be a time on the world, on the earth, the time of Jacob's trouble. The great tribulation hour's coming. Thank God I'll be with Jesus. Thank God the Bible said, Brother Steve, I loved the verse you put with Miss Reba's picture. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The last word my mama said before she left this world was amen. And it was right after I read that verse of scripture. Amen. She hadn't spoken for 2 days. But she heard one more verse that she wanted to say amen to. Beloved, listen. It's real to God's people. Heaven is real. The Bible said, as it were, in the days of Noah. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. This message is not outlined the way that sometimes God helps me to do that. But, beloved, I believe the Lord will give us something that will stick in our craw, cause us to be burdened for our lost people, and help us to understand the need of the hour. Brother Steve mentioned yesterday, he mentioned that we gave out 300. I believe we could have given 750 to 1,000 away. We highly underestimated the crowd. The crowd in Bloomingdale was lined up on both sides of the road. Amen. Highly underestimated the opportunity that God gave. It was the biggest that I've seen. I've been there 3 times now for that parade. And there were people everywhere. I think one thing was this. The pandemic's over. I believe another thing, God give us a beautiful day. It was like between 55 and 60 degrees, and the sun wasn't shining, but it wasn't raining, and it was warm, and it was just a wonderful time to minister the gospel. Brother Ralph, we had the Bluetooth speaker up on top of the truck, and it was playing that very song that you all sang all the way down the parade. The cross was in front. Why? Because this church is not in front of the cross. Hallelujah, we're behind the cross. Amen. That's where our sins are hidden, in the cross of Calvary. Amen. And we played that song, God's First Christmas Tree. What a blessing. As the primitive sang all the way, over and over. I have something on my phone called Infinite Looper. And you just push the song and it'll just play over and over. And I never got tired of it, did I, Brother Gary? I guarantee you this, Brother Ralph. Brother Gary got tired of me singing with it, but I never got tired of it. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's good to know where the real Christmas tree is. It's good to know that the gift of God was not under the tree, but on the tree for you and for me. Look at Genesis chapter 6. The Bible said in verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Pastor, why aren't you going to hell? Because I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Pastor, why aren't you going into the great tribulation hour? Because I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. See, when a man finds faith, it's just reasonable that he would walk with God. When he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, it's just reasonable. I'm going to tell you something. It bothers me when folks say they have faith, but they don't walk with God. It bothers me, beloved. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I ain't going to name no names, but it bothers me when you can make every car show in town, but you can't make the church house.
You can make every ball game in town, but you can't make the church house. Let me tell you what James said about faith. He said, faith without works is dead, being alone. Oh, beloved friend, a real faith will walk with God. You know why? Listen, I'm not looking forward to tonight, but it'll be easy. You want to know why? Because my sister walked with God. I'd hate to be standing tonight and trying to preach a sermon about somebody that didn't walk with God. Someone that left no testimony. I told Brother Gary the other day, I said, thank God, Sister Reva left us a forwarding address. Amen. We didn't lose her. We know where she is. We can't bring her back, but we can go be with her. Amen. The Bible said here, Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, I want to ask you something. Please listen to me right quickly. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah. I took a little break this morning. My wife fixed me a wonderful breakfast sandwich. And if you're not hungry enough already, I'll tell you what it had on it. It had two eggs and bacon on buttered toast with cheese on top of that, melted. That's a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. You say, Pastor, now we know why you want Randall to pick you up and not somebody else. Amen. Did you get that a while ago, Brother Randall, why I want you to pick me up? Okay. If you guess percentage-wise and get off as much as you did with that rock, I'll go out of here weighing less than 200 and none of your business pounds. Let me tell you this. God was working in my heart and I was preparing. And I went in and turned the news on. Just a little bit, brother. Just a little bit. I turned the news on, brother. Jason just hung his head. Gouge him, sister. You have my permission. Just gouge him once in a while. Amen. And you know what it was talking about? It's talking about a county sheriff in Brevard County in Florida. And you know what they're dealing with? Teenagers. And they're dealing with teenagers that are becoming violent and getting out of line and getting out of order. You want to know why they're having to deal with it in the school? I tell you why. Because ain't no daddy's dealing with it in the house. You know what my daddy told me when I went to school? He said, son, if you get in trouble at school and I find out about it, you're going to be in a whole lot more trouble when you get home. The earth, the Word of God said, is filled with violence in this day. I began to look up some things. More than 400,000 people die from homicide each year. In some countries, it's one of the leading causes. Less than 1% of global deaths are from homicide, but in some countries, it's high as 10%. Homicide rates vary across the world. In the most violent countries, rates are more than 50 times higher. Violence. As of 2010, there were more than 250 cases of rape that were reported. Do you understand? Rape is a very underreported crime for different reasons. But 250,000, and that was in 2010. Now there are over 463,000 rape victims. Listen, that over there with the United Nations was worldwide. Now there's over 463,000 rape victims in America each year. Now we can sit here this morning and we can say, well, Pastor, that's statistics. I tell you, it'd be different if it was your girl. It'd be different if it was your wife. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, as it was in the days of Noah, this world is filled with violence today. There's people that would kill you for a Christmas present. And God said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be that way in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In 2021, this is last year, an estimated 943,800 reported cases of aggravated assault occurred across the United States. Listen to me. I think there is a danger of watching too much news. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. There's also a danger of not watching any. There is a danger of watching too much news. We do need to bury our nose in this precious old book. And we need to look up and realize Jesus is coming. But I'm telling you something, beloved. Listen, we don't need our head in the sand. This world's in a mess. Walk up, pull a baseball bat out of your pants. Somebody facing away from you. And hit them in the back of the head. And bust their skull wide open. If you don't know it, beloved, listen. Especially if you're in a city, there's a camera everywhere. And if you're not in a city, there's a good chance somebody might have a cell phone camera taking pictures of what's going on. But I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. There was a time in America when you didn't know what was going on in China. But now we know what's going on in China. They could hide it, but it can no longer be hidden. You say, Pastor, what has that got to do with us? I'm just telling you, right in front of your face, God said it'll be like that in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's right in front of our face. Earth filled with violence, filled with corruption. What about the earthquakes in diverse places? I read this. Listen, I'm talking about 1 month, November of this year. November in Italy, the earthquake and subsequent aftershocks were recorded off the coast of Italy. In Nepal, an earthquake of magnitude 6.6 rocked Nepal. In Fiji, on the same day, it was a very shaking near Fiji. The magnitude of the largest shock was a 7. On November the 11th, in Tonga, an earthquake of a magnitude of 7.3 occurred in the region of the Tonga Islands. The magnitude 2.5 earthquakes were 588. The 5 magnitude earthquakes were more than 75. And there were at least 3.7 magnitude earthquakes in November of this year. God said, listen, I don't even have to point you to the tribulation. Noah moved with fear, things not seen as yet. I'm telling you, that generation is without excuse because of the things that they could see. And this generation is without excuse too. They heard Noah preach. They watched the difference in Noah's family. Turn over to Genesis quickly. Are you still there? Turn over to Genesis. The Bible said in Noah, in verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Noah, come down all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast shalt thou take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. The beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and his female. To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Look at this word. For yet 7 days, and I'll cause it to rain. You know what? I want to read a verse in Timothy. Go back to Timothy with me, please. Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to try to wind this thing down here in just a few minutes, but I want to give you something that I believe ought to speak to your heart. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter number 3, watch this now. I'm looking at verse number 20. The Bible said, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved. Now watch this. I'm telling you, beloved, by faith, Noah heard from God, and he moved with fear. He prepared an ark. I told you last Sunday that, beloved, we are facing things that have not yet been seen, but they're pronounced in the Word of God, and it's going to happen just as sure as you and I are breathing. Even more sure than you and I are breathing this morning. But what did they see? They saw that old man that preached, a preacher of righteousness. That's what the Word of God said. 120 years the ark is preparing. But now, Brother Steve, there's 7 more days. The door's open. What's going on for these 7 days? I'll tell you what's going on. Here comes a lamb. 2 of them. Nope. 7 of them. The lamb was a clean beast. If you were standing on the street corner, there's 7 lambs, but there's only 2 bears. There's 7 doves, but there's only 2 buzzards. Their names was Mike. Listen to me just a moment. Would it not? Wait a minute now. I don't see Noah riding a horse and going out there with a lasso trying to get that giraffe. That ain't the way it happened. The God of heaven that's in control of nature spoke to the animal kingdom and they got in line. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, Brother Wayne, if I was standing over there watching all that, I believe I'd at least scratch my head the first day. And the second day, I might scratch the other side. And the third day, I might be talking to Noah a little bit and saying, Noah, what's this thing all about? I ain't never seen anything like this before. I'm telling you, beloved, in that generation, there was something going on right before their eyes. And yet they would not believe. They continued in their corruption. They continued in their violence. They continued in their unbelief. I don't know about you, beloved, but it would just shock me. Here comes the lamb. That lion every once in a while just bumps her in the tail. Go on. You're going too slow. He said, Pastor, you've lost your mind. I don't know what it looked like. But it had to be something for 7 days. 7 days this is going on. 7 days. That rattlesnake that just likes to bite things in the heel. Just going right along. Just as peaceful. Thank God there wasn't but 2 of them. If I was God, I think I would have made an exception for the cats. Sister Joyce will whoop me for saying that, but I think I'd let them drown. Amen. She said, no. No, you ain't going to whoop me, or no, you wouldn't let them drown. Both. Amen. You say, Pastor, you believe the Bible is filled with, the world is filled with violence and the Bible is correct? Yes, I do. I would encourage you to be very careful. I've made up my mind. I'm not afraid to die. But I'm not going to put myself and my family in situations, beloved, that are just inviting what this world wants to do. Say amen. I would have that in mind if I were you. The Bible said the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 said, the fool is set in his heart. There is no God. They're corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Psalm chapter 38, verse number 5 said, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Y'all bear with me just a moment. But you see, when the Bible uses the word corrupt, and then in that verse right there, it uses the word with my wounds stink. They're corrupt. My mind went back as I read that verse to my grandmother that had sugar diabetes, had a bad sore on the calf of her leg. It bandaged it every morning. And generally by midday, that corruption was coming through the bandage. And you could see it. You say, Pastor, just stay with me a minute. The Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The Bible said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt. It is deceitful lust. How many's got sense enough to know the old man's corrupt? I would have never seen my need of a Savior had I not seen my corruption and my sin. David said it was ever before me. The Bible said perverse, 1 Timothy 6:5, disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Back during the Great Depression, when the stock market crashed, the suicide rate went through the roof. We're already, just with the pandemic, we're already seeing the suicide rate going through the roof. And beloved, if the stock market crashes again, you mark down what I said. I think the government's doing everything they can to get everybody's retirement. Say amen. They ain't got enough to corrupt themselves, so they're going to get everything people's got and corrupt it too. The Bible said perverse disputings of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. The Bible said now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The Bible said, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Beloved, we're living in a generation. Listen to this last verse. For true and righteous, this is Revelation 19:2, are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. You say, Pastor, as it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said it was corrupt. Let me tell you something about that verse right there. Mentioned the great whore, that great church that pulls people away from the gospel of God and from the Christ of Calvary. Let me say this to you, beloved. Talked about fornication. We're living in a day, beloved. Listen to me carefully. It's not, people don't even think about it. We'll just get together. Live together. Listen to me. You say, Pastor, don't preach on that. That's touched my home. Guess what? It's touched mine too. Guess what else? It still ain't right. Fornication is still fornication. I'm talking about the corruption that's worldwide. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you it would shock you, the families in this church that have children or grandchildren that are living in fornication. Premarital, extramarital sex. And it's just taught like it's part of the way. Drunkenness. Casinos. Maybe Kingsport will get them one for long. I hope not. Don't you? You say, Pastor, they got all that revenue coming in. What'd that revenue from the liquor help us? And now they want to give you a little place where you can just go over there and get you a clean needle. How'd that help us? I'm just telling you, the corruption is everywhere. What is the point of all this, Pastor? The point is just this. Noah's day. Violence. Corruption. Made God sick. And if you think God's pleased with our generation, you've got your head in the sand. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Fornication ain't enough. Now we'll just jump over there. Where there's a man with a man and a woman with a woman. What God said was an abomination. And it's, listen, you'd be surprised how many people would get mad at a pastor like me for preaching on that because it's going on somewhere in their home.
Get mad if you want to, but as long as God gives me a breath, I'm going to preach all the counsel of God. God is trying to warn us. Look over here at Noah. Look where we're at today. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Long suffering. I used to look at that and all I could think about, well, it's actually in the text as Noah was preparing the ark. And God said, if that ain't enough, I'll give them 7 more days. The door's open. I'll give you 7 more days to watch what's going on. 7 more days to repent. And not a one repented. Brother Don, I'm asking, brother, you reckon Noah was disappointed that there wasn't more that wanted to get on that boat with him? I believe he was too, brother. And there's days, beloved, I can't tell you the disappointment in my heart. But I got to keep going. I got to keep preaching. I got to keep telling the truth. Because that's my job. It ain't my job to cause people to move with fear. It's my job to preach the truth. And they're going to be responsible for whether they move or whether they stand still, just like they did in the days of Noah, till God shut the door. I can just hear it. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Somebody in the little grass thatch-covered house says, Daddy, what is that? I don't know, son. And he goes out. He says, there's water droplets falling out of the air. I can hear something like this, Brother Wayne. Daddy, I thought you said that old man was crazy. I thought you said that old man didn't know what he was talking about. Daddy, you reckon he did know what he was talking about? God opens up the heavens. And then God opens up the deep. You can say whatever you want to. But as long as they could reach that door, they were beating on that door. They were beating on that door. Noah! 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 Please, Noah! Brother Ralph, I read not all, but some of that paper that you gave me last week, brother. That paper did the same thing. It paints people on that front page. That's heard the gospel. They say, now we recognize we need Jesus because our loved ones are gone. Beloved, you're looking at a preacher that don't believe that. You reject Christ in this generation, honey, I'm telling you, there's strong delusion coming. There's going to be a multitude saved, but it's not going to be gospel hearers and gospel rejectors in the tribulation hour. Jesus loves you. He loves your family. And he loves my family. Amen. And he says, you want a comparison? I'll give you the revelation, things not seen as yet. You can look at that and move. Or you can just look at what you can see and say, hey, he's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming again. I'll close with these words. By faith. By faith. By faith, by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to stand and preach the gospel. Lord Jesus, you took our place on an old rugged cross. Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God, we're not going to heaven on our own righteousness. But we're going to heaven because we realize we had no righteousness. We needed Jesus. The songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. As it were in the days of Noah.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.